Yeah.
Well,
by the
obviously
way,
Morales didn't listen to the whole show because that was the lie of the day.
That was the lie of the day. Pencils. Who cares? And by the way, Morales could have a box of pencils. It wouldn't make any difference. A box of pencils. So it is Friday the 13th, Ironman.
Yes.
Friday the 13th. Have you, and by the way, before we do anything, before you start telling stories, it is Ireland's lie of the day today.
Yes.
So we're going to play.
I'm 2-0 as a liar. You guys yet to sniff out a lie I have made.
This is the one show that rewards you for being a liar. make sure you pay attention to everything John says. Lins, Jorge, we got to figure this out today. Ireland's on vacation next week, so we want to sniff out this lie before he actually goes away. Now, Friday the 13th, is that anything to you?
No, I'm the opposite. As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, I used to ask for the number 13.
Oh, really?
There was a safety for the Miami Dolphins named Jake Scott, who I liked, who wore number 13. When I got older, Steve Nash wore number 13. Dan Marino wore number 13. A-Rod with the Yankees wore number 13. I always thought it was kind of cool to zag when everyone else was zigging. I've never bought any theory that Friday the 13th is in some way a bad day. Have you?
You know, it's sort of an ominous day to me. Like, all day long I walk around, I think something could happen bad. Like, this morning, I drove to Starbucks, and I was making a left-hand turn, and this lady comes barreling through the intersection. I'm like, oh, just dodged a bad Friday the 13th accident. You know, stuff, a lot of this, John, and you'll believe in this, right? This is sort of the secret. If you expect something bad to happen, chances are something bad is going to happen. Is that fair?
Yeah. For example, most, not all, but most hotels don't have a 13th floor. Did you know that?
I did.
Yeah. So next time you're in a hotel elevator, take a look and you'll see, oh, no 13, because they're afraid that people are superstitious and won't want to stay on it, and if anything ever did happen, they would feel terrible, so they just don't even put in a 13th floor.
You know, in China, the unlucky number is 4. Fourth floor, Chinese hotels generally don't have a fourth floor. It's omitted because this number means death, so they eliminate the fourth floor. Yeah. Now, some of this stuff, do you believe in, Momo's big in this. Momo will be here next week. Momo's big in this. The, what do they call it? The, when the stars go, regression? No, what am I thinking of, Lins? Help me out.
Astrology?
Yeah, the astrology and the Mercury is in the retrograde.
Mercury retrograde.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, do you believe in that?
No. When I was a kid, I spent a few months on, remember biorhythms? I would figure out everybody's biorhythm.
Barely. Describe what a biorhythm
is. Okay, what I remember is I was a teenager, and so I was in a math class, and it was easy to figure out.
Right.
And so I said, hey, what's your birthday? I'll do your biorhythm. And it would basically tell you what days you were supposedly at your best. And so if you had something you could schedule and you would want to do it on that day. And now I just think it was a load of crap. I don't think there was anything to it. I don't necessarily think there's anything to astrology, although I know a lot of people that swear by it.
Yeah, see, I don't buy into the astrology thing. The planets don't seem to have any effect on me whatsoever. And this Mercury in retrograde thing, I think, is just an excuse you use when something really bad happens. Oh, must be Mercury in retrograde. That must be what it is. Lins, how about you? Friday the 13th, mean anything to you?
I think it's more of like a holiday where you can celebrate the stupid movies and the people that have the superstitions. Like when I was younger, my friend Caitlin and I were big fans of Friday the 13th. And we would
like 10 of those movies, right?
Yeah, but I mean, we were big fans of actual Friday the 13th, like the date.
Okay.
Because
we
would like drive around and try and scare people because it's Friday the 13th. So we would like wear Scream masks and Jason masks and like go to the movies and try and like, you know, scare people. It's pretty fun.
All right, wow, so there are two Laker hotels, hotels that we no longer stay at either one of these. That are supposedly haunted. One is in Milwaukee.
Yes.
And one is in Oklahoma City.
Right.
And if you Google Milwaukee Haunted Hotel, Oklahoma City Haunted Hotel, you will see stories and stories of professional athletes who claim to have been visited by ghosts at these two hotels. So much so that Lou Williams, when he played for us,
yep,
Lemon Pepper Lou.
Lemon Pepper Lou.
The bus would pull up to the hotel, and Lou would grab his bag and go down the street.
Really? He'd stay at a different hotel?
And so does still to this day. And we basically, you were off this day, but we brought him on.
Yep.
The guy who runs Backstage Lakers is this incredibly talented TV guy named Michael Koger.
Okay. Like, if you ever watched, I've met Michael. I sit next to him at some of the games.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Koger unapologetically will tell you, not even messing with a haunted hotel. If we go and stay, like the one in Oklahoma City that we used to stay in that is reportedly haunted.
That's the Pfister, right?
No, that's in Milwaukee. Oklahoma City, it's the Skirvin.
That sounds scary.
Okay.
The Skirvin.
And the story is supposedly that there is a ghost there named Effie.
Mm-hmm.
Effie.
Mm-hmm.
And the story was that Oklahoma City was kind of a stopover point for travelers in the 1800s when they were going west.
Right. You know, covered wagon kind of stuff. Like when Michael Thompson was playing.
Right. So they would stop and they would stay at the Skirvin Hotel. And the proprietor, whose last name was Skirvin, apparently had a mistress and he got her pregnant. And her name was Effie. She was a chambermaid at the hotel. But he was like a member of high society, so no one could know about it. So he stashed her on the top floor of the hotel.
Okay. Against her will?
Yes. Well, no, because she was pregnant and he didn't want anybody to see her.
Okay, got it.
And she went stir crazy and killed herself.
Oh.
And now her ghost haunts the hotel. And there are stories of Boston Celtics and San Antonio Spurs. And I have begged Mace for years to be visited by a ghost in Oklahoma City, and it has never happened.
Yeah, I think
that if you root for it, like, and you're unafraid of it, then you don't get it.
The whole haunted house thing, I think, is just a load of crap. I do not believe there's such a thing as a haunted house. But I do think that stories lead to stories, right? Like,
right.
For example, once one guy thinks they see a ghost, then another guy, and then it spreads throughout the NBA, and all of a sudden everybody thinks they're seeing a ghost. I think that's the way haunted houses develop.
I think Bill Simmons claims he was once haunted in the Skirvin Hotel.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Jorge, where are you on haunted houses?
Just another day. No, man, not my thing. I don't believe in it. It's just, they're old houses. You hear the screeching, that's it. They're just old houses.
And Friday the 13th, just another day to you.
Just another day, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy.
I tend to think Friday the 13th is in people's heads. But if it's in your head, it's really in your head. As far as haunted houses, I just think that's a load of crap. I don't believe in haunted houses. And you know, phones are going to be open all day today. It's an effing Friday. So 877-710-ESPN, haunted houses, I think, are a load of crap. You may have had a different experience and you're mental over it. You're mental over it.
Michael believes in ghosts. He says a ghost, and that's another hotel we've stayed at in Berkeley,
right,
up in Northern California. Michael claims the ghost stole his wine.
Yeah. No, I think Trudell stole his wine.
I do too.
So what did you think of the Field of Dreams game last night in Iowa?
I thought it was absolutely spectacular. Any skepticism that I had about the game beforehand, and you know, we talked about it yesterday in the show, that why are they doing a game that honors a movie from 40 years ago, and it's, you know, kind of, it's so old school that none of the players have seen the movie, and some of them talked about it. Mace, I thought that if you would have turned that in as a script,
yep,
that it would have been kicked back because there's no way it could have gone that well. I thought it was a banner night for Major League Baseball. I thought it was an extraordinary night for Fox Sports,
yep,
who did as good of a job at covering an event. They're good at those things, but that was flawless. And I even tweeted this at the end of the game. You're telling me that game wasn't scripted? That the Yankees with two outs in the top of the ninth are going to hit two-run homers into the cornfield to take a one-run lead, and then in the bottom of the inning Tim Anderson's going to hit a two-run walk-off, and as soon as it hits the cornfield, the fireworks go off.
Yes.
I mean, come. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, I thought it was I thought it was beautifully produced, both on site. You know, the whole Kevin Costner thing and the playing of the James Earl Jones.
When they came out in the beginning, I thought, you know, I thought it would might be corny if they tried to make the players come in through the cornfield. I thought it was awesome.
It was really, really cool. I thought,
and there's something about Aaron Judge in you know, walking through the cornfield. And Aaron Judge is a mountain of a guy.
Yep.
He's like 6'6", and he looks like Babe Ruth. And he hit two home runs, including one of the big ones in the ninth inning.
Yep.
And I, for a while, I thought I was watching a movie. Matter of fact, even the people who are the most skeptical going in, if that didn't win you over, you just either hate Field of Dreams or hate baseball. Now, Lindsay, you were skeptical.
Very skeptical.
Did it win you over?
I mean, watching the highlights of it, no.
You didn't watch the game.
No, why would I watch the game?
Well,
you
missed
you
the whole thing. It was the Yankees and the White Sox. It was a great game.
I just thought I'd do what you always do, Mace, and just watch the highlights.
What do you mean, what I always do and watch
that's
the highlights?
That's what I do. You just watch the highlights. That's what I did. I watched the highlights.
Yeah, the highlights didn't capture what was going on there.
What were there, seven or eight home runs?
Yeah, right, I mean.
So they say they're going to go back. You know, it was such a big hit that they're going to go back. And now that, you know what they have? One of the highest rated games every year in hockey. Is when they play the outdoor game on New Year's Day. They now have their outdoor game on New Year's Day. They have this. They may next time play a whole series there rather than one game because it.
I don't want to overdo it, right?
Right.
I don't
overdo it. Which everyone always does. But three games out of 162 wouldn't be overdoing it.
No.
But I think
it's kind of like what they did when they played. Remember the Red Sox and the Dodgers played at the Coliseum that one year?
Right, and it was great.
Yeah,
I went to that
really
game.
Cool. Yeah, really
but this
cool.
was okay. So one change I would make. Okay, I don't know if it would screw up the rules. Lose the fence, lose the outfield fence.
What, and just run into the cornfield to make a catch?
If you can do it, you know, like you're like when you were playing at a schoolyard when you were a kid. Just if you hit it into the cornfield, it's a live ball.
Run! By the way, number one show on television last night was the Field of Dreams game.
Okay, so can I say something about this? I haven't seen the ratings. I don't know if you have them in front of you.
Yeah, I do.
I don't care what the ratings were. This is one of those events that if you didn't watch it and you talk to somebody who did watch it, they'll tell you how great it was. Even if that game, an average really good postseason baseball game does like a 5.
Yes.
Even if that game did a 2, I would say it would have been worth it.
That game did a 5.
Okay, so there you go.
It resonated.
Yeah.
People were into it.
The game was awesome. The game was like a playoff game. It was great.
Lindsay, we can't sell you on this at all. It just didn't work for you. Just not into it.
I don't get it. Like, I don't get what, as somebody who is not a fan of the movie, I don't see why that would be appealing to me.
Because, you know, the movie is about, and I thought they did a nice job before the game, talking about how baseball gets passed down through the generations. I think that's really what Field of Dreams is about more than anything.
Yeah, well, I like baseball because it's fun to watch. I don't like it because I think it's nostalgic. So that's, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, I do. I think nostalgia, at least for me, is a huge part of the game. And they show
it,
for
example.
Well,
here's something that's weird. Like, I've been to that field, Mace. You've been too, right?
Oh, have you?
Yeah, you've been too, right?
No, I've never been there.
Yeah, but that wasn't the field. The field was across the other side of the cornfield.
By the farmhouse, yeah.
They mention it a couple of times, but that was not the actual field from Field of Dreams. They built that field for the game last night because they needed more space. And now I think they keep both of them. You know, the other one they've kept forever since the movie. But that field last night, brand new. That's the first game that's, I think, ever been
right.
played. But it's definitely the first. I think it's the first major league game ever played in Iowa.
Yeah, and I thought, again, I thought beautifully produced. I thought there's some symmetry between, you know, 40 years ago, James Earl Jones saying, if you build it, they will come. And last night, everybody did.
And I'm guessing like, James Earl really Jones cool. is in ill health or something because we never saw him last night.
He did
right?
voice part of it for this. But, I mean, James Earl Jones is probably close to 80, isn't he? Maybe
oh,
older.
Least.
But he did voice part of that before the game. All right, coming up next, we'll stick with baseball because the Dodgers have now fallen 5 games.
James Earl Jones is 90.
90, wow. 5 games behind the Giants. John has thrown in the towel. I want to fight. We will get into that.
I think they're going as a wild card. They're going to win. If they're going to win it, they got to go as a wild card.
We'll get to that coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ES.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know what's really funny about the podcast is I notice the people that listen, I'll get delayed tweets.
Sure.
Like today I was getting tweets about stuff we talked about yesterday. Does that ever happen to you?
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, the podcast is a good way to listen. Although, you know, what I hope will get worked out, and I would imagine that will get worked out in the future. None of Morales' imaging is on the podcast.
Oh, no, that's too bad. People don't get to hear Morales. Oh,
you,
what
no,
a shame.
You don't get to hear him at all. And you don't get to hear any music.
Yeah, they can't because it is music. There's all sorts of licensing things. But I feel badly for the people that don't get to hear the audio treats that Chris Morales presents every day on the show. Hey, is Ronnie online still? Yeah, let's go to Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie, what's up, man?
How you guys doing today?
We're good.
Great,
how you doing?
Awesome, awesome. I'm a big, big fan, guys. I want to say thank you, guys.
Glad to have you.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. So I was listening you know, to you guys' earlier segment about ghost stories and Friday the 13th and, you know,
right,
all that good stuff. And my aunt, my mom's sister actually grew up in a haunted house, man. And we would always visit my cousins and all that stuff. And they're out there, man. They are out there.
You believe in haunted houses?
Absolutely.
Have you seen a ghost?
I don't know if I could say I've seen one, but I've felt their presence many, many times, man. And I'm not like one of those guys that, you know, typically believes in the crazy stuff. Had I not experienced it, there's no way I would say otherwise, man.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Ronnie.
Thanks, Ronnie.
You know, Mace, there are many, many – my grandfather, who I was very close with, my mom's dad, was the smartest guy I know.
Okay.
Started his own company, like gave me loads of wisdom. Whenever I needed advice on anything, I went to him. At the end of his life, his wife passed away. His wife he'd been married to for 60 years.
Yes.
Passed away. And every day, he would watch a show on TV – with a guy named John Edward, who claimed to be a medium. And he claimed to be able to talk to people beyond the grave.
Mm.
And I would go to him, I go, you know, this is all, this
made
isn't
up.
True. This is made. He goes, no. This guy's doing it. Remember Mark Willard, who we used to work with?
Oh, yeah.
Mark's wife, Jill, has made a living being a medium.
Yeah.
And if you talk to Mark and Jill about it, they'll go, hey, we know everybody doesn't believe in it, but for people that do, it's a real thing. So isn't like a haunted house just one step either beyond or before a medium?
I'll say this. I had one incident that I think is applicable here. So my grandmother was very, very old. I think she was 98 or something.
Right.
And she wasn't in the hospital, but she was using a walker and all this stuff, and she was not healthy. And all of a sudden, one day, one afternoon, the circuit breaker went off, and we lost power in the house. And we went and fixed it, obviously, and hit the circuit breaker. And about 10 minutes later, my mom called and said, your grandmother just died. I was like, oh, that's kind of spooky, right? Power goes out right about the time we find out that grandma died. That's about as close as I've been.
Wait, like he was suggesting those two things were related?
Right. In other words, my grandmother, who we called Gable turned the power off to let us know that she was exiting the building.
Wow.
Cable has exited the building.
That's an impressive skill. I'm going to have to learn that.
Let's go to Paul in Reseda. Paul, you're on 710. What's up, man? Hey, Paul? No.
Earth to Paul.
I'm here.
Oh, there you go. Hey, what's up, Paul?
Hey, so I saw a ghost, and I was a complete unbeliever before this. In 1994, I lived in a house in Canoga Park, about a 100-year-old house. And the night of the 94 earthquake, I woke up with my wife the night after it happened, and there's a woman standing in our bedroom. And I got up and walked around this apparition. And then I walked over to my wife. I woke her up, and I said, "What the hell is this?" And she said, "Oh, that's the ghost." And she went back to sleep.
All right, Paul.
And I went back to sleep.
Paul, a couple of questions.
Yes.
Was the ghost dressed?
Yes. Well, yes. It was kind of a whitey-white kind of transparent kind of thing. And I actually thought maybe it was a trick of light, so I, walked around it and stuff. So, yes, it was dressed, though, in a nightgown kind of thing.
Did the ghost speak or make any sounds?
No.
And how could you go back to sleep if you'd just seen this apparition?
Well, I mean, the whole world had shook about 10 hours earlier, so I guess seeing a ghost wasn't nearly as shocking as it would ordinarily be.
You're right.
Yeah.
No, it was.
But the kicker was, about a year or so later, my wife and I are out front working in the garden, and a man came by who we'd never met before, and who said, "Yeah, I used to own this house. I owned it about five, six years ago." And he says to us, "Oh, have you met the ghost yet?"
Wow.
And he said, "Oh yeah, the ghost was an old lady who used to live in the house, lived there for about 80 years, and died in the house. And she used to sit and talk to my son, who was very young at the time, all the time. And she was a very nice lady."
Okay.
So she was like a babysitter. You could just leave the kid home with the ghost.
Well, wouldn't that be great? We had
two small children at the time.
That would have been awesome.
We could all use one of them. All right.
Thank you, Paul. All right.
Hey,
let's get to that call from Dave in Murrieta because he has an interesting idea. Hey, Dave, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just want to say I've been listening to you guys since day one over at the Mighty 690. I love you guys.
Wow. Thanks, God bless you for that, man.
You guys are awesome. Anyway, the game last night was awesome. I was thinking, imagine this, if you have an all-star game there and you have all those all-stars coming out of the corn in retro uniforms. Just do it one time, but I think that would be a great idea.
It would be spectacular, Dave, but here's why I don't think it'll happen. The all-star game is a reward to whatever city gets it. In other words, it is a whole weekend of events, and there's a fan fest, and Mace, you and I have both been to all-star games.
Yeah.
And so the owners that get that all-star game make millions. But, Dave, what I think you will see is I think you're going to see a game in the cornfields every year, if not a series, and I think they're going to rotate the teams. I don't think next year it'll be necessarily
the Yankees and the Dodgers could be there.
The Dodgers could be there. Do you want to put the White Sox in it every year because of the tide in the movie?
I don't think it needs to
be. Those uniforms, by the way, the White Sox should absolutely use as their alternate uni.
Those are really cool. You know what's funny is that the White Sox or the people that live in that town or in Iowa in general can't even watch White Sox games, that there's six teams that they're blacked out from for geographical reasons.
And the six closest teams to Iowa.
Right.
And
so they can't even watch any of those games.
By the way, I think that Rob Manfred needs to get his hands on the wheel of this. I know that he has said for years, and that's why we couldn't watch the Dodgers for 7 years.
Yes.
He says that we tend not to interfere with business deals through individual clubs.
Yeah.
But he's the steward of the game. That thing Lindsay's talking about, that people who live in Iowa can't watch the six closest teams, including the Cubs and the White Sox.
Yeah.
Rob Manfred should be able to come in and say, okay, we're going to allow people in these cities to watch these games on an MLB app, and because it's our game and it's our product. And for fans, well, the one thing I learned about those 7 years we couldn't get the Dodgers, it was billionaires arguing against billionaires.
Sure.
And the only people that got screwed were the fans. And we got screwed out of Vin Scully's last 2 years.
Yep.
And I think that that should never happen again. Lindsay, I'm glad you brought that up. I thought that the fact that there are black, and Manfred says it's a huge priority for us, but he needs to have a nuclear option. He needs to be able to come in and say, all right, look, part of a condition of you being a broadcast partner for any of our 30 teams is that you have clearance in 80% of the market. If you don't, you can't do it. And there, the problem is solved.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, you're destroying business deals. I mean, what the Dodgers did is partly funding why we have a $285 million payroll.
And it would have been lawsuits, you know, left, right, and sideways. Yeah. But, and by the way, the Dodger Network does a fantastic job.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's great programming.
We should have been able to see it. It should have been a condition that Spectrum or Sportsnet LA, Time Warner owns them, should have had to have clearance of 80% of the market before the deal got approved.
Yeah.
And I think they should do that moving forward. Now everybody's happy.
Yeah. Because
the network's great. The people who are on TV, the pre and the post game shows are great.
Excellent.
Joe Davis and Oral are awesome.
What a team.
But we shouldn't have waited 7 years to see him. That's not fair.
All right, coming up next, Dodgers now 5 games behind the San Francisco Giants. Is it too much? Can we catch them? John Ireland says not going to. It's going to be a wild card.
No, I think they can catch them, but you're worrying about it like it's do or die.
Must win, John.
No,
must win.
The Giants are good. They've been in first place since April for
right.
a reason.
Right, and we've got to catch them.
Get the wild card and beat him through the back
door.
Oh,
God, that is such a disaster. All right, we'll get to that coming up next for you. Plus, we'll spin the wheel of questions, and I've got a separate question for Lindsay.
Okay.
Separate question that's coming on Twitter. That's coming up next for you, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Wait a minute. Is that real? Is Marie Osmond really singing the national anthem?
Well, they always
get
they're supposedly get someone who's, like, doing a show in Vegas.
Is there anybody that's less silver and black than Marie Osmond?
What are you talking about? Marie Osmond is back, man. She, you know, she's the spokesman for one of those weight loss places. She looks fantastic.
Marie Osmond.
I think she's the spokesman for Nutrisystem. She looks great.
You are, and we'll find out as the course of the season moves along. You are the worst Raiders fan. You are the most in and out Raiders fan there is. I'm in and I'm out.
I checked it. And she is. It says Las Vegas resident, she lives there, and music industry icon Marie Osmond joins an illustrious list of performers who have honored America before a Raiders game, blah, 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 blah. And she's going to kick off the national anthem prior to their lone home preseason game of 2021.
That's an embarrassment. That's an embarrassment
about?
Marie Osmond is going to sing the national anthem at a Raiders game.
Hey, she's a little bit country. Donnie's a little bit rock and roll, man. That was the number one show in America.
She's a little bit lame for a Raiders game.
No.
You know who's going to do the halftime show is Carlos Santana.
Yes!
Oh, now that's cool.
See that? Yeah,
now
that's
great.
That's cool.
He should do the national anthem,
Carlos
too.
I love Carlos Santana. Yeah. So,
well, Mace, you know, you've never been to the Roomba, right?
No, have you?
Okay, no, but I've seen a video tour of it.
Yeah.
And all over, they paid tribute to people like Elvis and Wayne Newton and Sinatra, like Celine Dion.
Vegas
like
icon.
Vegas
Celine
icons.
Dion has a tribute inside the Roomba.
And they're all wearing, like Elvis is wearing a Raiders jumpsuit. So that's a thing. They tie Vegas
Marie
to the team.
Marie Osmond. Now, I get Carlos Santana. I don't get Marie Osmond. By the way, Kevin Demoff is coming up for you in 30 minutes. I don't know who's singing the national anthem tomorrow night.
Oh, Kevin will know.
Yeah, he'll know, and if there's going to be a halftime show, all that kind of stuff. So
I'm guessing that Marie Osmond was chosen because Elvis and Wayne Newton were probably not available.
Well, Wayne Newton's alive, right?
I think Wayne Newton is alive, but I don't know if he's singing
anymore. He is, but I think
anymore.
That he stopped singing because I think he retired around COVID because I guess he had some shows. Same with Tony Bennett. He had some shows scheduled, like some kind of like farewell things. And then I guess he announced that he was going to retire because, you know, COVID killed the end of his Vegas stint. And then he was just like, I'm done.
By
now.
The way, do you guys know how old Tony Bennett is?
He's got to be 90.
What do you think, Lindsay?
91.
88.
95.
Whoa. Wow.
I'm surprised he was still even trying.
I'll tell you, my mom, and it must have been my dad at that point, saw Tony Bennett maybe 5 or 6 years ago and said he was fantastic. I love Tony Bennett. He used to live in my neighborhood when I was living in New York City. He lived right in Columbus Circle, and I would see him all the time, and one day worked up my nerve to be able to say something to him just to say I'm an enormous fan. And if you ever want to know what my grandpap looked like, I talked about my grandma on my mom's side. If you want to know what my grandpap looked like, looked a ton like Tony Bennett. Looked a ton like Tony Bennett.
All right. So do you want to do the wheel of questions or the question for Lindsay?
Let's do the wheel of questions first.
Okay.
Jorge, ready to spin? Spinning, spinning, round she goes, and this is easy. All right. Would you say you're an artistic person? Why?
What would be the opposite of an artistic person? Would it be a more logical person or a more?
You're saying left brain, right brain. You're more left brain.
I'm more organized and less artistic. I think you're more artistic.
Yeah, I have paintings in my house that I painted. I don't know if they're good or not, but they're sentimental to me.
You know who paints a lot, like every day?
Who?
Howard Stern.
Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Painting is great. Painting is I've got all kinds of stuff I painted in the house. And I also, you know, I keep my garden together. I also think that's a form of art. Lindsay, are you artistic at all?
I don't know. I mean, in certain, like, I was always a really good, like, drawer. I could draw really well. I could paint well. I could, you know, draw cartoons and all that stuff. But I don't know if you're talking about, like, in general, generally speaking, I think I let my, like Ireland said, the organized, less artistic side out of me. I use that a lot more.
Yeah, so you think you're more left brain than right brain? Right brain is more creative and left brain is more organized, just to kind of generalize.
No, if you mean creative, that's completely different than artistic. So well, if you're saying creative, then yes, I think I'm very creative.
Yeah, no, I think creative is an element of artistic. So yeah, so you're putting yourself in that category. Do you have any paintings? Do you have any art that you made?
Oh, I have a ton of stuff from when I was little. And my dad, like, randomly finds it here and there and sends me pictures of it. Like,
That's cool.
I made a cabin. We go camping every year in our cabins. And they're like old 1920s green cabins. And apparently I made one out of popsicle sticks a long time ago. Ah. And my dad found it recently and was like, look at this. How cool is that?
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Okay. All right, Jorge, artistic at all?
No, back in college, a couple art classes, drawing classes, whatever, that's it. But I lost it after that. Creative, maybe. You know, I did work for TV and had to make a couple bios and little stories out of, you know, nothing. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, so. Wait a minute. You, when we went out and did my first lesson of golf,
right,
you brought a camera out.
I did.
You shot it. You edited
right.
it. To me, that's creative.
Yeah.
And I remember you tried to get that one shot all the time of my foot coming out of the station van. And you said, okay, now do it again. Do it again.
We did it
so
three times.
We did it three times. So, no, that's creative, man.
That's what I'm saying. I'm on the creative side, yeah. Artistic,
yeah,
I don't know.
Great at visual
but
arts.
I think they're a little different, though, because I think artistic is, like, an ability that you have that you can, like, create stuff, whereas, like, artistic or, I mean, creative is more like skill and talent for, like, your imagination, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You guys can be the judge. I will tweet out a picture of my favorite painting after this segment, and you can trash it or you can celebrate it.
Excellent.
All right, so we're gonna get to Kevin Demoff coming up for you in about 15 minutes. In the meantime, I've got a question for you, Lindsay, that came in on Twitter. Actually, it's just a statement from Julio, and I want to know if this is true. And I'm not trying to be, you know, I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm not trying to get you riled up or anything like that. But maybe I am. So
I was gonna say, but is the you know the telling?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
Julio tweets: Lindsay has been chippy all week. John, have you noticed Lindsay being chippy this week?
No. Not any more than usual.
No?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that Lindsay has that side door, but I don't think it's been more prevalent this week.
I'm always chippy, yeah.
I'm surprised, but Lindsay, I am surprised at your position on this Field of Dreams game. It seems to me that you are refusing to even let it in as a possible.
No, I said it was fine. I said it was fine. And like I just said, for as somebody who's not like huge on the movie, I'm not a big fan of the movie. Then to me, it was just like, oh, okay, that's something they did. I guess I just don't really get why they did it. And like, it was fine. It was cool. But you know, it's not something where I was like, oh my God, that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Like, you know,
I thought it was the best non-playoff game I've ever seen.
Me too. I thought it was the best non-playoff game.
I didn't watch the game, and I have no rooting interest and no investment in the game or the outcome of it. So that's another reason why I was just kind of like, oh, okay, it's a baseball game.
So for
And remember, Mace, we were talking about kids, and I told that story about Renee the roofer.
Yes.
And he sent me a tweet this morning. He said, my son, who I think is a teenager, watched the Field of Dreams games with his friends. So people under 40 were definitely interested. When he got home, I asked him what he thought. He said it was a perfect game. A grand slam for Major League Baseball. So I think it resonated with everybody, and I'm not sure that you would have had to see the movie.
No.
I think that it works even if you didn't.
Yeah, I think
it was just such a good game.
And Linz, to your point, by the way, I think one of the reasons why Lindsay's been maybe chippy this week is that she's been producing both shows, which cannot be easy.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I haven't been the past 2 days.
Oh, geez, then you are chippy. All right.
But you knew that.
I just think the nostalgia is part of baseball. The nostalgia is, for me at least, is a huge element in Major League Baseball with the game of baseball. Coming up next, I've been promising Dodgers. We're going to do Dodgers coming up next for you. I've got a stat that fully explains why we are where we are, John. That is coming up next for you. Then Kevin Demoff's going to join us on the eve of the Rams playing their very first game at SoFi Stadium, preseason game tomorrow night against the San Diego Chargers. That slipped. The Chargers, I'll just say the Chargers.
Well, and it's not the first game they played at SoFi, but it'll be the first game with fans.
Oh, right. First game with fans. That's what I meant. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Was accurate. There were no preseason games last year because of COVID.
Correct.
So it'll be the first preseason game ever at SoFi.
Yeah. So we got that coming up for you, too. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, what's going on? It's an Effit Friday. Anything goes today. Phones always open, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Throw something weird at us. We will make that reception for you. So
it's Friday.
That's right. So, John, the Dodgers, who lost yesterday afternoon in Philadelphia 2-1.
And the Giants won again.
In New York to take on the Mets tonight. The Giants won. They beat Colorado last night. We cannot expect much help from Colorado this weekend, one of the worst teams in the league, really in the National League. And the Dodgers have now drifted to 5 games behind the Giants. And you have all but said sayonara to the division title.
Here's what I think. The Giants have been in the lead since April, and they have no reason to think they're going to give it up. They've been the best team in baseball all year. The Dodgers, Mace, I would put all the eggs in this basket. Get everybody healthy.
Right.
Get as many – we got to be prepared for the news coming that Mookie Betts might be shut down. I mean, that's all the indications we're getting are that
it's definitely possible. Right. Yes, for sure.
Clayton Kershaw, we're hoping, is going to come back in September. I think you would agree with me that Trevor Bauer is done.
No, he's finished. He's finished as a Dodger.
So what you want is to get as many, and maybe Cody Bellinger is turning a corner.
Cody looks good now.
Corey Seager seems to be coming back too. So what you want is get everybody revved up. If you make up 5 games on the Giants, great, take it, win the division, and get some security. But you have painted this picture that if they don't win the division, the season, it's the worst thing in the world, and the season is toast.
It's a disaster.
They'll
John.
Win the 1-game playoff.
How do you know?
Because they're the best team.
How do you know?
They'll win. They'll start Scherzer.
The best team doesn't win a 1-gamer.
Yeah.
The team that has good performances that day wins the 1-gamer.
I'll bet on Max Scherzer to win us that 1 game.
That's the other thing. Would you start Bueller or would you start
Scherzer.
Max Scherzer?
Scherzer. Bueller's never had that kind of pressure on him.
Oh, sure he has. He's pitched game 7s, John.
When?
In the postseason.
When?
In... 2 years ago, Atlanta in 2020.
That was a
five gamer. No, that was a seven gamer.
That was a seven gamer, but I don't think Buehler pitched game seven. Maybe he did. No, it's beside the point. I would start Scherzer because he's a big game pitcher, like no other. Like can
Buehler's,
you think of,
no, just, Mason's right.
Good.
When Cleveland in 2013 or 14, they had to play against Tampa Bay in the one game. And I remember the starter for the Indians was Danny Salazar, who was at that time, that year, he was having like a Cy Young year. He was fantastic. He was our number two starter. And we pitched against Alex Cobb, who I'm pretty sure like nobody really ever heard from again after that game. And the Indians lost. I think they lost like 3-0.
Well, yeah, so I'm not saying that the Dodgers couldn't lose. Thing. But what I'm saying is to say that if the Dodgers don't win the division, it's all curtains and it's over.
No, and it's not all curtains. It means
you've said it's must win. What is the definition to you of must win?
You must win to get this division title and avoid 27 outs between you and hell.
No, it's not. It's hell.
27
it's a game.
Outs.
They'll win that game.
You cannot predict that they will win that game. By the way, both Scherzer and Buehler have been really good in the postseason. In the case of Scherzer, 7-5, 3.38 ERA. In the case of Buehler, 3-1, 2.35
yeah,
ERA.
Yeah, so we got two options. Come on.
Yeah, we've got two options to pitch that game. But, John, You've just spent $280 million for this roster. Do you really want to have it come down to one game?
Do I want it? No. Have I started to accept it as a distinct possibility? Yes. And that's where you
need to get. I do not accept it. I do not accept it. I believe this team has extraordinary depth. This team can survive.
What makes you think the Giants are going to come back to the pack?
Well, the Giants are in a very soft spot in their schedule right now.
Correct.
They're playing the Diamondbacks and they're playing the Rockies.
How many Dodger Giant games are left? Four?
They're coming up quick.
Okay.
They're coming up quick. So, yeah, I mean, if you look at the Giants' schedule, they're just in a really, really sweet spot in their schedule because they've got back-to-back Diamondbacks and Rockies. But then they got to play the Mets. Then they got to play the A's. Then they got to play the Mets again. The schedule gets tougher. They got Milwaukee. By the way, the final games of the series or the season with San Francisco are September 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So I think that's Labor Day weekend, isn't it?
Okay, so here's get ready for something.
And those are home. Those are at Dodger Stadium.
In October. And by the way, you're off by a month. The September is a regular season month. Those games, the end of the season is the first few days of October.
Oh, yeah. What did I say?
You said September.
Oh,
so
yeah.
No,
their last games against the Giants are September 3, 4, 5.
Right. But here, get a load of this. In October, on the final Sunday of the regular season, which obviously could be a huge day. I think baseball is going to start every game at noon Pacific again,
exactly,
like they did last year. Okay. On that day, it'll be the Dodgers' last game of the season, probably at noon. The Lakers open the preseason against the Nets that day at 12:30, and the Rams play at 1 o'clock. It is going to be a monstrous sports day.
And that game could really mean something. They are home to San Diego on that last afternoon. It's a 12:05 game. And as you said, the Rams play the same day. Are they home, away? Where are the Rams?
It's October 3rd, wherever they are on October 3rd. But it is going to be the Lakers, the Dodgers, and the Rams all playing at the exact same time on that one day.
And yeah, the Rams are home to Arizona.
Is it a 1 o'clock game?
It's a Arizona. Yep, 1:05.
Okay, so think about this: noon, Dodgers Padres at Dodger Stadium.
Yep.
12:30, Lakers Brooklyn at Staples. 1 o'clock, Rams Cardinals at SoFi. How about that for a day?
That is a day. Yeah, John, I'm not setting sail on this division title, and I do think there's an element of...
Neither am I, but I think you're panicking Dodger fans by saying that if they don't win the division, the season's over. It's not.
By the way, I'm completely not alone on this. If you talk to the average Dodger fan, they're with me on this.
No, they want, but they're not giving up if they don't win the division.
No, you don't give up, but you've left too much of a variable. Max Scherzer has a bad day. Bueller has a bad day. You've got Trey Turner has a bad afternoon. All of a sudden, you've got issues because anything can happen.
You know what I'm in favor of?
Ball game.
Maximum drama. It's good for the show. It's good for the city. Bring it on.
I'll tell you what's not
good. By the way,
if we lose that game.
That game would be 2 days later, right?
Yeah, I think that's the way the schedule usually goes.
Tuesday or Wednesday of that week.
Yeah. All right. By the way, we were talking about days and game times and all that stuff. Game time tomorrow night, SoFi Stadium, 7 p.m. It is the Chargers at the Los Angeles Rams. As you may have heard, I am part of the Ramily. When somebody yells, "Whose house?" I yell, "Rams house!" That's the way I roll, and I'm ready for tomorrow night. Coming up next for you, the COO of the Los Angeles Rams, Kevin Demoff, will join us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.